Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the midweek edition, the 28th of November 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster. We are live each weekday from noon to one on the home of the Buckmaster Show, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. It's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. We post the program to three different websites, making it very easy for you to log on and hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world, buckmastershow.com. We post to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. And now we have links on the homepages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's GVNews.com, and the homepage of Blog for Arizona at blogforarizona.com. We have a very full hour, as usual, of news and information for you. We begin with a Tucson preservationist who says a stretch of Broadway Boulevard is important historically. We will find out why. 20 minutes past the hour, a world-famous comet discoverer, David Levy, talks about tonight's lunar eclipse. That should be a very interesting event, visible here in southern Arizona. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk politics and look ahead to the legislative session of 2013 with newly elected State Senator Al Melvin. We encourage you to join in the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line open now for you at 790-2040, or you can submit a question on our Facebook page, our growing number of friends on the page. All you need to do is type in Bill Buckmaster. A stretch of Broadway Boulevard, affectionately known as Broadway's Sunshine Corridor between Campbell Avenue and Country Club, is among the newest additions to the Arizona Preservation Foundation's list of the state's most endangered historical places. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show in studio, Damian Klinko. Damian is president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Damian, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very curious, and our listeners, I think, are as well, to find out, what are we talking about here? Why is this stretch of mid-century modern buildings significant, Damian?
Well, so Broadway was born modern. Cities around the country, their downtowns underwent transformational refaces in the 1950s and 60s after World War II, where early 20th century buildings were covered with mid-century modern storefronts. And Broadway Boulevard in Tucson was a little different because it actually developed in the modern era. And all of the buildings along this corridor were designed by a collection of Tucson's most significant mid-century modern architects.
So rather than put up a facade over some old buildings and say, hey, we're going to be modern, these were actually designed by local architects.
Architect-designed modern buildings using modern materials, glass, steel, new structural systems that allowed for glass window walls to sell products to a growing, emerging Tucson. In 1940, the Tucson population was about 35,000, and by 1960, it was 212,000.
And this area around this stretch, why was this area important, and where did it grow out of?
So it really, as downtown sort of reached its capacity, and the city began to grow out eastward, with new subdivisions of ranch houses and cul-de-sac streets, there needed a new commercial district emerged, and this was Broadway, and it really became the spine of Tucson. And this part was designed by a whole host of architects, including Bernie Friedman, Sylvia and William Wild, Anne Risedale, Nicholas Zakeller, and a host of others. But what's particularly interesting about this particular corridor was there was a family called the Solots. And the Solots were a real estate family and big developers in mid-century Tucson. And they were committed to building 20-foot storefronts so that small businesses could afford to have prime real estate frontage. The buildings were home to real estate companies and furniture stores and a new emerging American market. that was indicative of the post-World War II boom.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you think of the downtown expansion after World War II, that Broadway area was the natural place to go, and going as far as Elkhorn Shopping Mall becoming our first major shopping mall. However, at Country Club and Broadway, we really technically have, I guess, Tucson's first little shopping area, don't we?
Yeah,
beautifully designed. I love that area.
Broadway Village, which was designed Broadway Village designed by Josias Jostler in 1939, just predates World War II, but really provided a cornerstone for development along Broadway. And so what we saw after World War II was a complete infill of between downtown and Country Club of these wonderful, eclectic, exuberant mid-century structures.
I love that Broadway Village area. And why is this now, why is it important that this is brought forward at this time?
Well, so part of the RTA transportation improvement package included a significant expansion of Broadway Boulevard. And this dates back to a
1987. The council first started talking about the Broadway widening back then.
Well, it was originally first talked about in 1984 when I was 4 years old. And in 1987, it was passed by mayor and council and included in the major streets and routes package. And since then, the street has, we've identified that the buildings are actually architecturally significant. They have this rich and vibrant historic context, including a very, very strong Jewish context. Many of the buildings along this particular part of the corridor were commissioned by Jewish families and built by architects like Bernie Friedman, who were part of the Jewish community. So in fact, it's Tucson's 1950s, 60s Jewish commercial heritage we're talking about. But the RTA project is now in full swing, and the city of Tucson has pulled together a task force of 13 members who are assessing what the profile of this new street should be, and should it be 8 lanes, or should we really be demanding context-sensitive solutions for this part of our city?
It is an area that needs a lot of conversation. After all, the voters did say they wanted the expansion, but perhaps now there can be some kind of a compromise.
I'm really hopeful that through context-sensitive solution approach, which is a national standard, becoming the go-to model for large roadway projects, that I acknowledge that transportation projects exist within a context. There is a built environment, and that built environment creates the street. Because of this transportation project, for 20 years, the street has remained disinvested and has really stagnated, and the buildings have not been actively changed. And so it's almost preservation by neglect, and we have this incredible opportunity to both enhance the street with increased functionality and cultivate and enhance a remarkable asset, not just in Tucson, but in the state of Arizona.
Damian Klinko is with us. Damian is president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And Damian, kudos to you. You really have put together some wonderful projects and events. The Miracle Mile event was very successful. Most recently, this Tucson Modernism Week. How did that go?
So Tucson Modernism Week was actually focused on Broadway Boulevard, and it was an opportunity for the community to come and actually look at these buildings with fresh eyes in a new way. I think that, you know, every day we drive down Broadway Boulevard and Speedway, and we sort of become numb, and we don't stop and actually take a moment to look at our own city.
Good point.
And when you actually look at Broadway,
we're so busy with our day-to-day workplace environment or worrying about where we need to go, we're not really looking along
at
these buildings.
And the buildings have begun to deteriorate. And yet, when people are visiting our community, people stop and say, wow, this is something extraordinary. The Chase Bank at the corner of Broadway and Country Club is a phenomenal example of this sculptural exuberance of post-World War II. So Modernism Week was an opportunity for the community to come out and actually experience these buildings. We used five buildings from the modern era along Broadway to host over 27 events. We had 2,500 people in attendance who attended lectures and films and parties and a host of different projects and sessions and seminars, and there was a pop-up shop for mid-century modern furniture dealers. It was a really tremendous weekend, and something I hope we repeat.
I want to do a shout-out to one of our sponsors, Adobe House Antiques, because you were talking about kind of mid-century modernism. Penny has wonderful items.
And Penny serves.
Had to put a little plug in there, because Penny is really a preservationist, as are you, and Penny really cares about the preservation community so much here.
And Penny sits on the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation board.
And you had there was also a wonderful event, the home tour at El Encanto. Is that going to happen again?
So this year we're looking at not at El Encanto, but another historic neighborhood in our community, and that will be in April, probably April of 2013.
There is a wonderful sense of historic sensibility of people who really care about our community. We've made tremendous mistakes in the 60s in the downtown area. It was the first time I lived here in Tucson going to school a million years ago at the U of A in the late 60s. Of course, that downtown area, the barrio, known as the barrio, torn down most of it for the Tucson Convention Center.
Yes.
And the El Conquistador Hotel.
There have been extraordinary architectural losses and tragedies in our community, and you know, it's not just Tucson. It was communities across this country in the late 1960s and early 1970s who were trying to reinvent themselves through large civic initiatives like urban renewal. And that loss, I think, has really galvanized and has created a very strong and fervent preservation ethic, certainly in the Southwest, and I think in Tucson it's really come into focus.
What's your next big event that you've got planned? Will there be something after the first of the year?
We'll be doing a home tour in the spring, but each month the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation offers walking tours. You can find out about those on our website, preservetucson.org, and we have workshops and different types of sessions and conversations throughout the year.
Ken Scoville, who is our history contributor here to the Buckmaster Show, does some walking tours, and he's a big supporter of what you do, Damien, and for the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Again, your website?
PreserveTucson.org.
Okay, and you're always welcoming, I'm sure, new members and people who want to get involved with the preservation community here.
There are incredible opportunities to participate and to volunteer, and certainly becoming a member is an easy and simple way to support preservation in our community.
Okay, Damien Klinko, the president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, doing great work there and calling attention to Tucson's historic sensibility. Damien, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show at 12:21. Well, early this evening, lucky viewers in southern Arizona will see the full moon darken as a lunar eclipse graces the sky. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine and now head of and founder, he is head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Foundation. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David Levy, how are you? Am I told that this eclipse has already happened?
I'm afraid so, yes. Gotcha.
How embarrassing. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just that the 28th actually, you know, we all know, began at midnight. And the eclipse was early this morning, just before dawn. It was barely noticeable. And it was for me, a wonderful event because it proves that the Earth and the Moon move and that the solar system is a group of bodies in motion. And time waits for no person. But in the connecting this to the arts, the lunar eclipse reminds me, any lunar eclipse, even when it's just a slight shading as this morning's was reminds me of this beautiful poem by Thomas Hardy. It was called At a Lunar Eclipse. And I love how he compares the moon and the beautiful tranquil shadow of the Earth to the troubled planet that we live on. I'd just like to quote the first two stanzas of the poem.
Go ahead.
Thy shadow, Earth, from pole to central sea, now steals along the moon's meek shine, in even monochrome and curving line of imperturbable serenity. How shall I link such sun-cast symmetry with the torn, troubled form I know as thine, that profile, placid as a brow divine, with continents of moil and misery? He wrote that after an eclipse of the moon that took place in 1903, and it's one of my favorite poems.
Well, David, you have seen probably more eclipses than just about, well, certainly solar, total solar eclipses than anyone around. You were down in Australia in mid-November. How did that go?
Well, I was in Australia. I'd actually, the day before the eclipse, I made a kind of a peace with myself, Bill. We arrived in Australia. The clouds were very dense. It was raining almost constantly. And I had made a peace with myself that this is one eclipse I would miss. And so I'm sorry to have to tell you that on the morning of the eclipse, we boarded a little boat to try to get us out from under the clouds. But as we left the shore of Cairns in Australia, the clouds were still there, and they were still there until we got fairly close to a place called Green Island.
I have been there, believe it or not.
Yes, you have.
I have been to Green Island.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's a wonderful spot, isn't it?
It is.
And just as we got there, we got out from under the clouds, and Bill, we got a near perfect eclipse, with the exception of about 15 seconds early in the partial phase, when a little cloud passed by, we got a perfect eclipse. The diamond ring, the total eclipse, the corona, the prominences were incredible, and the ending diamond ring was absolutely wonderful, because combined with that, you could see the shadow of the moon that had just left us, tearing across the Pacific Ocean.
That was a long time ago, 1984, that we were out in Green Island, and as I recall, it's not very far from Cairns. It was out into the Coral Sea, maybe an hour on the boat or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's about an hour of riding through fairly rough ocean.
Oh yes.
On a boat, and but I'm sure glad we went out there, because we got a magnificent eclipse.
How many total solar eclipses have you seen?
11.
Wow.
This is my 11th.
Wow.
And there are a couple of nice ones coming up. In 2017, there is going to be a total eclipse in the United States. It won't pass through Tucson, but it will pass at the south end of the airport at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then cross the country from there. I'm really not sure what would be the best place to see it, but we're looking at watching that from Jackson Hole. And then in 2024, there's a total eclipse of the sun right at the site of our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat. The eclipse will also be total in Kingston, Ontario, Montreal, Quebec as well. So we have a couple of spots to try to see that eclipse from.
David Levy is with us for his monthly report. David Levy, of course, has discovered or co-discovered 23 comets, and we are hoping soon he will have 24, so we can just say two dozen comets.
Yeah.
Hey, David, going back to your total solar eclipses, you've seen 11. Were you ever shut out completely?
Yes, 1970. 1970, there was a total eclipse in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and it was clouded out. It was one of the darkest daytime sights I've ever seen, but we saw a little bit of the opening partial phase of that, and that was it. That's all we saw in that eclipse.
David, I've only got about 2 minutes left to go, but there was a small item in the news. Captain Scott Kelly, who is the brother of retired astronaut Captain Mark Kelly, I believe he's the twin brother.
Yes,
is going to be up on a very long NASA-funded space mission. It was announced yesterday in 2015. He'll be up in space at the International Space Station for a total year to study the effects of long-term space flights. I guess this is all preparations for eventually going to Mars.
Well, I hope so. I think that that these long space flights are necessary to prepare for an eventual flight to another planet. But I think the idea, this brings up to mind that conversation that we've been having about NASA's future direction, and I actually like the president's idea that we should actually send people to a near-Earth asteroid after going back to the moon, and I think the real problem with it is that it's kind of kept a secret. I think they need to get a big bass drum and start to really pound this thing and really sell it, because it's a good program and it's a good goal for our space program. The problem is we're not selling it right. We need to get people like me really to sell this program, because space, we are a nation of explorers. We explore space. We explore everything. We explore it to learn things. And this is an obvious next step, to go back to the moon, set up a base there, and then go off to other places in the solar system, including asteroids that someday could pose a threat to the Earth.
I agree with you. We need to put the sizzle back in the space program.
Let's get a big drum beating on this.
David Levy, always a pleasure. Have yourself a great day. My regards to Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A private lunch at the White House tomorrow will be the first meeting between President Obama and Mitt Romney since their last debate. Mr. Obama promised in his victory speech earlier this month that he would engage with Romney following their bitter campaign and that he would consider Romney's ideas. There are some optimistic words today from the president concerning the fiscal cliff, saying he thinks that members of both parties can reach a framework on a debt-cutting deal before Christmas. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is asking for almost $37 billion in federal aid to recover and rebuild after Superstorm Sandy. New York's governor is asking for roughly $42 billion in federal help. On Wall Street, the Dow up 60 points, the NASDAQ trading 8 points higher, the S&P better by 4. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Visit historic Pinos Altos, City of Rock State Park, Fort Bayard Historic Site, or fish at Lake Roberts. Plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including the Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, and Faywood Hot Springs Resort. You can find out more at Silver City and Grant County on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show newly elected State Senator Al Melvin, who has served in the State of Arizona Senate since 2008. Senator Melvin won by more than 10,000 votes in legislative district number 11. Senator Melvin, good to see you.
It's good to be here, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
What was it about your message, do you think, that resonated so much with the voters to bring in this really overwhelming victory?
Well, my number one job is the creation of jobs in the private sector, and I stress that as hard as I could. And in every election cycle that I'm engaged in, I always show a comparison between myself and my opponent, and just pointing out all of the major issues and the stark contrast between the two of us. And this is my third legislative win with, and this time, double digits, about 11,000 votes and approximately 12% over my opponent. And my two running mates also were elected to the House. So I thank the voters in LD-11 for that victory for the three of us.
As far as redistricting, what role did it play?
You know, it's interesting. We were chatting about it a little bit before the show. This so-called Independent Redistricting Commission was really a travesty. It truly was. In my case, the good news is we have a double-digit advantage over Democrats. We have about a 12% advantage over Democrats. But the bad news was they intentionally pitted myself against another conservative Republican senator in the hope, I think, that we would kill each other off in the primary and that the Democrat could step in and be elected. But we were able to come to an agreement where Steve Smith moved from the Senate to the House and we ran as a good conservative team. But the loss of Frank Antonori, Ted Vogt, in LD-9 and 10, the way they intentionally gave the Democrats an advantage in those districts is sad. It truly is. I just want to take advantage of this chance to say when the voters voted in the Independent Redistricting Commission of five people, two Democrats, two Republicans, and an independent chairperson, they didn't fully realize that the two Democrats canceled out the two Republicans, leaving one person calling the shots, vice versus 90 duly elected legislators. So it was one versus 90, and that one had Democratic leanings, and the legislative lines show it.
Well, I do want to follow up on something Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek said yesterday here on the Buckmaster Show about representative vote and about Senator Antinori. Councilman Kasachek said that he was glad that they were both voted out of office because he felt that they were anti-Tucson. And I want to give, if either of them are listening, they are more than welcome to call and give their side of the story at 790-2040, 790-2040. Yeah. But Senator Melvin, sure. What do you say about when you hear something like
you
that?
You know, frankly, it doesn't pass the sanity test. I live on the north side of Tucson, and all of us want what is best for the city. Anyone who has visited San Antonio, Texas, has seen what they've done with their river walk and all. They've done wonderful things with that city, and that has always been my hope, that we could do something with the downtown of Tucson to rejuvenate it, and we all want what is best for the city. Whether you live in it or on the side of it, as I do, we all want what is best for it. I happen to be Catholic. We have a cathedral downtown, and we want to keep the gem show. We want prosperity for our people. But the fact is, we have tried as hard as we could with this Rio Nuevo. The Republicans, in the 4 years that I've been in the Senate, rejuvenated that board to try to get a proper accounting of the TIF money. And now here we are in this day in November with $260 million basically unaccounted for. This is money from all 6.5 million people in Arizona that has come and to Rio Nuevo in downtown Tucson, and it is unaccounted for. We owe it to the people of our state for a full accounting. We really do. It's a shame that there's nothing really to show for that money. There are several investigations underway, and all of us, Republicans, Democrats, we have a total obligation for a full accounting of that money, and we're bound and determined to get it.
The new Senate President, Mr. Biggs of Gilbert, Arizona, Senator Biggs, was on our program, Senator Melvin, recently, and I talked with him at great length about Rio Nuevo, and he was quite candid and honest about it and saying it's going to be under the microscope big time with this legislative session.
Well, it needs to be, because we're still in what is now over a four-year recession. Our people are hurting. Good things are happening in the state, and we'll have time to talk about that bill. But we owe it to the people of Arizona that there be a full accounting of this money. And I have the utmost respect for Senate President-elect Andy Biggs. This current budget, this balanced budget, and the budget before it really are his budgets. Because he is an appropriations type person, that's been his background in the House and then the Senate. He, more than any one individual, should have credit for this balanced budget, and the next one and the one after that and beyond it will be balanced as well. Just like we struggle every day in our individual family budgets, We owe it to the people of Arizona to have a balanced state budget, and with his leadership, we got it in the past, and we'll have it in the future.
If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a comment or question for Senator Melvin, 790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about the upcoming legislative session, and we're talking about revenue. There's a piece in today's Arizona Republic from the columnist Robert Robb, who says we're really facing a difficult situation with our budget when we lose that sales tax expiring in June.
I don't look at it that way, Bill, and let me tell you why. Because we were able to balance our current budget over the last 4 years, we went from 11.3 to 8.3 billion. We reduced the general fund budget by $3 billion over a 4-year period. And when we did that, three things happened. We went from the bottom 10 of the 50 states to the top 10. We're now number one of all 50 states as the best state for business startups. We went from 46 to 4th as in job creation, and we're in the top 10 for a great atmosphere to conduct business. So good things are happening. Businesses are going to flock to Arizona from California, and I can tell you why.
Let's go to the phone here now. Before we take the break, Senator Melvin, let's at least work in one of these calls on the Buckmaster Show. We have Chris with us. Chris is a councilman from the city of Benson, and you're on with Senator Melvin. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Senator, I was just wondering if I'm a big supporter of the tax incentive for the film industry, and I was wondering, do you think that will pass this year?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask that, Chris. I've supported it every year that it's come up. It's always come up short, but I'm the chairman designate of the Senate Commerce, Energy, and Military Committee, so it'll surely come before my committee. I'm not in that school of thought that we should not do these things, that we shouldn't be picking winners and losers. We have a rich history, as you know, of movie making in this state, westerns and other great movies. We have programs at ASU and the U of A, degree programs in multimedia and filmmaking. And with the craziness that's going on in California, with just a little bit of incentive that this type of bill will create, there will be a major shift to that industry to Arizona. And thank you so much for asking the question, sir.
You're on. I think we'll take the break here, and then we'll take another call for Senator Melvin. This is the Buckmaster Show coming up on 12:46. Let's listen now to the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors that make this program possible. Please support them.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're having a wonderful conversation, a wide-ranging conversation with Senator Al Melvin, newly elected. Let's go to Raj Kohli now. Raj has a question for Senator Melvin about Raj's idea about the downtown Fountain Plaza in Tucson. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, thank you, Bill. Senator, I heard you talk about downtown and Rio Nuevo. I know that there's a challenge for downtown. We've lost a lot of money. And the other part of the equation is, of course, that the constraint that the legislature have put in regarding having a hotel and convention center downtown. I have a plan called Tucson Fountain Plaza. And if you check the website, TucsonFountainPlaza.com, you'll see the plan on the website. That is more comprehensive than just the hotel and convention center. And everybody I've shown it to says this is the best plan we've ever seen. I wonder if you're aware of it.
Frankly, I'm not. You know, I'm an Eagle Scout. I tell the truth.
We've got
But I see it here
We pulled it up on the screen.
I will look at the website, Raj. I promise you that I will.
And Raj, he will take a look at it. And Raj will look forward to talking real estate tomorrow with you on the show.
Indeed, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Raj Kohli on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk real estate with Raj tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. One of the areas, Senator Melvin, you have been very interested in something I care a great deal about are animal welfare issues.
Yes. I'm pretty much the animal welfare person, the go-to guy in the Senate. Oftentimes this is something that is championed on the Democratic side, but it means a lot to me, and I'm in a unique position as a Republican in order to push the issues ahead. I was mentioning during the break, I've talked to Sheriff Arpaio, who also is a Republican and a strong animal welfare kind of guy, and we're going to be working together on some good bills this coming session, for instance, shutting down puppy mills, stopping the sale of non-farm animals along the highways and byways, on just public roads from cardboard boxes.
How about dog fighting, cockfighting?
That type of thing. We as you say, the poor innocents, the animals, can't defend themselves, and it's up to us to defend them. But good things are happening. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but here in Pima County at the Silver Bell Animal Facility, for several years now, and it wasn't my idea, but we've had like 14 state inmates from our prison system 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, cleaning the cages, grooming the animals, washing them, feeding them, exercising them, getting them ready for adoption. And now we've expanded that to the Humane Society in Tucson. We're moving it up to Phoenix, which is four times bigger than we are down here. And this is just a huge success where we're using inmates in this critical area. Another thing that I want to do is in our 10 major prisons throughout Arizona, we have a lot of land around the prisons. We can be growing hay there, baling it, and making it available to horse rescue organizations. The inmates will grow it, cut it, bale it, and learn those skills. We can also teach the inmates to take care of the horses' hooves and their teeth. And, you know, there's just so many things we can do in this area that don't cost a lot of money, but are great. And one last thing, there's a lady up in Flagstaff who, a veterinarian scientist who's come up with a food additive that for $5 or $6 when added to cat and dog food can chemically spay the cat and dog, the female. They're using it to control the rat population in Indonesia that eat up 30% of the rice crop. And this will just be huge in bringing down the unwanted population of dogs and cats. So there are many good things happening in this area.
What's going to be the main issue as far as the budget? We touched briefly on the budget, but you're not too concerned about it.
No.
It seems like.
And I'll tell you why. One, the budget will remain balanced. And again, I want everyone to, we look at that state budget like our family budgets. And one thing, despite what people say, even in this bad recession of 4 years, we have never, ever let per pupil funding in public K through 12 go below 9,000. In fact, in fiscal year 11, it was 9,233, and it's never gone below that. We are committed to it. We, in fact, put the Arizona Senate building, House building, and executive tower up. We mortgaged them to raise the money to maintain this level of funding. We increased K through 12 public education funding over $200 million in the current budget. A couple of areas that I'm really big on, and I'm going to be the chairman of the Senate Commerce, Energy, and Military Committee, but I'm also going to be on the Appropriations Committee, the Education Committee for the first time, and the Public Safety Committee. But I'm a real big proponent of Teach for America. Some people know what that is. It's just a great program. We're going to give more money to it where the best and brightest graduates of our best universities go into the worst public schools to teach the basic study. So
is that a one-year deal?
It's a couple of years.
A couple of years.
And then many of those students go on to become start their own charter schools. This wonderful Korean American lady in Washington, D.C., Yi, came from that program. It's just a huge success, and we're going to expand it rapidly here in Arizona. We're also looking at things like Rosetta Stone for bringing our third and fourth graders up to grade level in their speaking skills. It's the same type of technology. There's a company up in Utah called Imagine Learning. I would ask people to look at their website. So many wonderful, exciting things. But with California raising taxes $8 to $9 billion by starting cap and trade, companies are going to flee there. And our welcome mat is out, and we just can't wait for them to come here, set up shop for our mutual gain, theirs and ours. And thank you for having me, Bill.
Thank you very much, Senator Melvin. Do you want to plug your website?
Yes, SenatorMelvin.com, SenatorMelvin.com. Please check it out, and please contact me anytime.
This portion of, thank you very much, Senator, for being with us. This portion of our Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true community for adults 55 and better. Enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido. They're having a musical performance that everyone's invited to Tuesday, December 4th at 11 a.m. by a group called Gestures of Joy. This is a fun group. It's a bunch of residents from Splendido who get together and perform, and they're very good. And if you'd like to attend, RSVP by calling 762-4084, 762-4084. Visit SplendidoTucson.com. Also, a big shout-out to Culligan Water. Culligan provides all of the bottled water here on the Buckmaster Show, and we thank them very much for doing that. And they offer really great-tasting bottled water. As they say about Culligan Water, it's better water, pure and simple. We like Culligan. It simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. John will be expanding his show from going to 3 to 5 starting December the 1st. Then tomorrow morning from 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. So we've got a lot of great local talk for you here on KVOI. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for being with us. Have a great afternoon.